And if you think about where we were last week, we come to this place, James 3, verses 1 through 12, almost immediately on the heels of James' admonition about the difference between faith and works that we talked about last week. So think about that as we turn to James 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear those words from that apostle and therefore from our Lord. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If he puts bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide them through their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. James begins this passage of this letter with an admonition that strikes fear into the hearts of preachers throughout the world. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So this morning I swallow hard, I take a deep breath, and I forge ahead with my sermon, asking you to listen with kindness and to judge with gentleness. The writer of this letter of James uses some great images in describing the power of the human tongue. One of these images really strikes me as especially applicable to modern Christians who live in and were raised in the West, like most of you, and that image is the image of a horse. So let me tell you a story. When Zach was just a little guy, and we were still living in Cortez, Colorado, I decided that it was high time that I tried to share with Zach an experience that had made a big impression on me when I was a little guy some 30 years earlier. We planned to spend a week at a dude ranch in south central Colorado. This was a dream come true. The dude ranch that I picked was called the Rainbow Trout Ranch in Antonito. It was a beautiful spread on the Conejos River. Well, predictably, we did a lot of fishing that week, but we also had a ball riding horses and playing cowboy. One day at the end of the week, we had the opportunity to ride one of the two draft horses that ranch used to pull a wagon. They had a beautiful matched pair of Belgians. And we were going to take a turn at riding one of those gorgeous horses, bareback. Well, you probably know a whole lot more about horses than I do, so you're probably familiar with the Belgian horse. I had to look it up on the internet, but it turns out that the average Belgian stands somewhere between 16 and 18 hands high and weighs somewhere between 1,800 and 2,000 pounds. In fact, some stallions can reach 2,400 pounds. Now, that's a lot of horse. But back to the Rainbow Trout Ranch. Imagine, if you will, I'm standing at the top of a fence, straddling it, on the edge of a corral, and the wrangler leads up this beautiful, huge horse alongside the fence, and I climb on. The horse has no saddle, but it does have a bit in its mouth and a bridle and reins that come off of that. I got to tell you, it was something like climbing on the back of a Volkswagen Beetle, straddling that huge back of that Belgian. So I swallowed hard and I took the reins gently in both hands and I led this Belgian out into the middle of the corral. And it was simply amazing. Here I was, this tiny human being, tiny being a relative term, sitting atop this huge horse, nearly a ton of horse, this highly intelligent, incredibly strong creature. And simply by applying just a bit of pressure on the reins and therefore on the bit in the horse's mouth, I was able to turn this beast in any direction that I wanted to go. This dude from Central Ohio was piloting a ton of horse flesh. Such is the power of the human tongue, according to James. Well, after walking this incredible animal for a few minutes, I got cocky. I kicked him in the ribs with my boots, and he started off at a gentle trot. And before I knew it, I had slid off that incredible beast, and I felt my back hit the ground with a thud, knocking the wind out of me. I was more embarrassed than hurt, but as I stood up in the dust, I looked over to the fence, and I could see Jane and Zach nearly doubled over in laughter. Zach was laughing at me about that yesterday. Such is the power of the human tongue, and such is the power of our words to affect other people. James makes the strong point to his first century congregation that their words can cause a lot of trouble, that the human tongue has the power to do a lot of damage, like a wildfire setting ablaze a forest. In fact, that's another image that has special poignancy for Westerners, wildfire. But in fact, James uses some pretty strong words himself. No one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Well, from our modern perspective in the 21st century, we know that James is making a valid point. The human tongue is an incredibly forceful part of the human body that can do a lot of damage to human relationships. But we can also recognize the power of the tongue and the power of our words to have a positive impact as well as a negative impact on others. As I was pondering this scripture passage and considering what I would say to you this morning, I thought a lot about my role as a parent, my very important role as a father to my son. As parents or as anyone who talks to kids on a regular basis, we must recognize the power of our words, the power of our tongues. Child development experts tell us that in order for kids to grow up with a positive and productive self-image, they need to hear 9 positive things for every 1 negative thing. In other words, we should praise kids 10 times more than we correct them or than we criticize them. 10 to 1. And that generally works for adults as well. Psychologists tell us that in general, people are much more motivated and for longer periods of time by positive words than by negative words. But that also makes me consider my role as a preacher and as a teacher. I could stand up here and preach hellfire and brimstone. I could bang on the pulpit and scream about the dangers of sin and our place in a corrupt and spiritually bankrupt society of sinners. I could remind you that every one of us here this morning is a sinner who rightly ought to be damned to hell, to burn in eternity with the devil as their only friend. And that might work for some people for some of the time. But that's not who I am. And that's not what would probably work for this congregation. I will have a much greater impact on you and on our collective ministries if I spend more time preaching to you about God's unconditional love for all people. God is gracious and merciful and full of love for every one of us here today. The human tongue is powerful, but God's word is much more powerful in order to influence people. Hellfire and damnation works for some, but the promise of eternal life that begins right here and right now works better. It's the power of sin versus the power of love. And all good Christians know in their hearts that in the end, the power of love will triumph over the power of the evil. Because in the end, God wins. But what about the power of your tongue and the power of your words? When I think about trying to ride that huge horse bareback, I realize with a red face that I fell off and had to pick myself up out of the dirt and dust myself off. Many times I try to use my words to their best advantage in order to share the good news with other people. And many times I mess up. I make mistakes as a father, as a husband, as a friend. My tongue betrays me as a son, as a teacher, as a preacher, as a pastor. But when we make mistakes and when we ask for forgiveness, God will always forgive us, no matter what. God will always love you, no matter what. Through everything, the Lord reminds us that we have to climb back on that horse. We have to try again. Each of us has amazing power in the words that we share with other people. Words have the power to hurt, but more importantly, words have the power to heal. And so we keep trying. God calls each of us to follow the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. God calls each of us to share the love of Christ and the good news from that family Bible. God calls each of us to tame our tongues and to bend them to the will of the Father. And as it says in the final verse of Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.